This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
No matter what your situation, having an open house on your property can be something that really helps to achieve best price. And one of the ways in which we do that is to make sure we have planned in advance open houses with clients so they feel comfortable, they know what they're going to be going into, and they know how many clients they're going to be having in their home. So whether you're an investor who wants to sell your vacant property quickly but get the most money, or whether you're someone who's actually really, really nervous about moving and perhaps haven't done it in 30, 40 years, an open house might suit you really, really well and it can be tailored to you. So there are a couple of the ways which we put strategies in place.
Welcome to Series 2 of the Property Podcast with Wards and me, Gary Wilson, the weekly podcast where I'll share with you all the latest Kent property news, as well as speaking with industry professionals to offer advice and tips that will hopefully help make your house move journey a little less stressful. Welcome to episode 1 of the Property Podcast with Wards, Series 2. So today we're going to kick things off talking about how you can achieve the best price for your property, which I guess ultimately is what everyone wants. And it's with our special guest, who is Gemma Duckworth, branch manager at Wards. Thank you, Gemma, first of all, for coming in. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Really interested, because this is a big question and there's lots to tackle with this. So let's not muck around. Let's get straight into it. Marketing. How effective can marketing strategies be? Let's use some buzzwords. How can they influence the sale price of a property, particularly in Kent?
I think it's incredibly, incredibly important. I think strategy is one of my favourite words. When people think about moving, they often get a little bit hot and sweaty, a bit stressed, because it can be a stressful time no matter what your situation is. So I think having a strategy, if you know how you're going to get from A to B, is really, really important. So it's our job as agents to make sure that we make things as least stressful as possible and make sure that people feel comfortable with moving no matter what their situation. So for us, I think a big thing that's different about Wards is that the period of time before marketing your property is one of the most important periods of time. And I think that's what people forget, is that often they think, right, the moment you hit the online platforms, that's when the work starts. I don't think it does. I think it starts from the moment that I go to someone's house and I understand why they want to move or why they have to move in some circumstances. And then we can decide what sort of strategy to put in place. It's never a one size fits all situation. It's always got to be tailored to the person that you're dealing with. So I think that's really important for us to understand and to make sure that we really get to know our clients really, really well before we start any of the marketing. So something that I find really, really important is called a bespoke pre-launch. So before your property goes online, I want to make sure that I know what your expectations are in terms of price so that we know what we're aiming for, but also to make sure that we're trying to tackle those clients that are already on our books and looking for a property, not necessarily just those that we're going to find online. I think it's about making a plan in advance and knowing how we're going to get the best price in the end. And another part of that is our open houses as well. So something that came about in the last sort of few months, which has been more important than ever, I think, is the need for open houses rather than random viewings here and there. I think no matter what your situation, having an open house on your property can be something that really helps to achieve best price. And one of the ways in which we do that is to make sure we have planned in advance open houses with clients so they feel comfortable, they know what they're going to be going into, and they know how many clients they're going to be having in their home. So whether you're an investor who wants to sell your vacant property quickly but get the most money, or whether you're someone who's actually really, really nervous about moving and perhaps haven't done it in 30, 40 years, an open house might suit you really, really well and it can be tailored to you. So there are a couple of the ways which we kind of put strategies in place.
Yeah, I was just thinking how it seems, maybe it isn't, but it seems like kind of a new phenomenon, the open house thing. Mm. In TV shows, American TV shows and films and stuff, you see they have an open house, put the sign out and the balloons out, yep, and people come in. Is it something that's happened? Is it been inspired by America? Is it something we've always done, or is it bigger now? Is it more of a thing?
I think it's definitely becoming more of a thing now.
Yeah.
I think during the pandemic, obviously we know what a difficult time that was for people. Obviously houses were selling so quickly, open houses were the way to go. We didn't really have an option. We had to do it then. That was kind of where it started. I think a lot of agents now, we're in a slower marketplace now. Prices have come down. There's lots of reductions happening. I think a lot of agents are assuming that there aren't enough clients around to do open houses.
Right.
For me, now they're more important than ever. And yes, in America, obviously, they're very glamorous. You've got your Selling Sunset on Netflix that came out. Nothing like that. It's much more organised. You've got back-to-back 15-minute viewing slots. It tends to to be really nice and organised. We make sure we know what clients are coming in, and that really helps for our sellers to feel comfortable. But also, you and I both know, if you're brushing shoulders with someone else who wants a property, you're probably going to offer a little bit higher than if...
I've been in that situation, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So I think they work really, really nicely. And also, if you are, say, you're a family who's got kids, you're not going to want to be tidying your house all the time.
You're so right. It's such a great... To think, maybe, you know, you might have to do more, but you could get it all done in one hit.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Dream. We had things hidden in ovens. We had kids' toys in the oven.
Dishwashers. Of course,
yeah, exactly. Please don't open that cupboard. Don't look in the boot of the car on the way up the drive either, because that's full of stuff. So everything is launched nowadays, yes. And it's a property is launched now as well. So that's crucial, that kind of stuff that you've been talking about. And it has a big impact on the selling price, do you think?
I think it does. So the most important time for coming to market is obviously when you first launch on the websites, because for me, you are going to get the most number of people looking at your property online the day that you launch. And we can see that. We've got various different technologies that can help us see how many people are looking at your property. And if I'm looking through and I'm seeing there's a massive spike in interest on the day you come to market, I know that I need to capture as many of those people as possible. And I think there's a lot of people out there with the way the market's been and with the prices and whatnot. I think a lot of people want to try their property at a very high price to start with. That's why we're seeing so many reductions. And that's okay, that's comfortable for people. But when we really look at how many people look at your property when you first come to market, you're probably missing out on a lot of that first kind of hit interest when you launch. So it's very important for myself and my team to inform people of that interest and the importance of actually hitting as many of those people in the first 48 hours of coming to market.
Yeah, so be a bit more realistic with your pricing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the pandemic already, and obviously apart from the open house thing, which was, you know, an essential, also virtual reality, I guess, really took off at that point. In the Kent property market, does that still have a role to play, the virtual reality stuff?
Yeah, I think it really took off during the pandemic. There was a lot of people, especially when restrictions were starting to be lifted, there was still a lot of people that were very, very nervous about contact. They didn't want to be letting people into their homes, and they didn't want to be going to other people's homes either. Obviously as well, even for agents, there's a lot of us that were nervous about human contact. So the virtual tours kind of acted as a first viewing, if you like. If we were still getting physical viewings off the back of that afterwards, we knew that they're probably very serious buyers. And I think the technology we use Matterport, and that's something which really, really gives you kind of that doll's house effect when you're looking around a property. You can walk around. It's much, much better quality than your sort of video walk around tours. So I think that really helps people to see how they would live in it and whether it would work for them, and certainly gives a lot better view of the property than just photos alone. So definitely, I think it's really widely used still.
Yeah, yeah. And what is the significance of the 24-hour portal delay in property sales? What's that all about? And, you know, how does that work with your business model? What is that all about?
So the 24-hour delay, we launched CrossWard's website first. So we've had a brand new website built in recent times, which is fantastic. And a lot of our clients will directly go to Ward's website first. Obviously, we have an awful lot of people on our books from our network of offices, which is great. We want to give them something first before the wider public. We know they're serious buyers. We're consistently qualifying them and making sure that they're still looking for a property. So it's just a nice little preview to give them before we give the wider public kind of the view of the property, and also directs them to the website, which can tell them so much more in terms of schools, local transport, all of those things. So it can give you almost a lot more information than what Rightmove or Zoopla possibly could. So I think it's a really nice way to kind of also set us apart from other agents. It's a feature that we've added in, which I think has worked really, really well.
Yeah, so it's kind of an exclusivity thing, but it also gets you a step closer to the people like yourself who really know what they're actually talking about and can have those conversations. So obviously people are very nervous when they get selling and they hear horror stories. What kind of horror stories have you got relating to prices, properties that are not priced quite right, and the impact that has on then selling the property?
With this business, there are a lot of occasions where things obviously haven't gone to plan for sellers. We know that over the years, many people have had bad experiences with moving. It's stressful as it is, but there can be some really, really difficult scenarios for people. So I think when the pressure's on, obviously there can always be things that don't quite go to plan. For me, over the past few years, I've heard a lot of different stories about people moving and they haven't priced the property right and there's things have gone wrong. But the main thing that sticks out for me, and it's not a specific example, but I hear this time and time again, is where people are going to offer on properties. They go and view properties. They find their absolute dream home. They commit to that. They obviously offer high because they're not in the best of positions. They're not proceedable. They offer high. They secure the property. They start paying for solicitors. You know, they pay for a survey. Perhaps they've spent out probably on, you know, a few hundred pounds, a few thousand pounds. Then what happens is they've taken advice from an agent, you know, about how to price their property. They've decided to price it higher. And then they're maybe not achieving that. They're not getting the viewings. They're not getting the offers. And what happens is they end up losing their own property. And that happens time and time again. And unfortunately, I think, you know, being an estate agent is a very, very competitive job anyway. And I know there are, you know, agents out there that will give a lot of confidence into their sellers that they will be able to sell it at a certain price. And as professionals, we're trusted in our profession. You know, people take our advice. And I think sometimes it's important for us to inform sellers, look, let's give you a plan. Let's give put a strategy in place so that we know if we do want to test the market at that price, we don't need to go out looking just yet. We don't need to secure a property. Let us help you with your onward. You know, leave that to us. Yeah. And actually, we've got a bit of a plan going forward as to if prices do need to adjust, we need to work out your worst case as well. And I think that kind of helps. But there are always going to be things that don't go to plan.
Yeah. And it's a personality thing as well, isn't it? You know, some people will, you've got to gauge that from your first meeting, whether they're the kind of person that is going to push.
Absolutely.
And possibly come a cropper, or they're the kind of person that's a bit more, you know, open to your, you know, suggestions and ideas. So, yeah, it's a big old job what you guys get up to. Now, something we want to get onto is obviously the success stories where the proper pricing has worked. So we'll get to that in part two.
As Kent's local independent estate agent, Wards utilise years of experience and expertise to promote your property in the best possible light to the largest possible audience. For more information, receive an online valuation in less than 30 seconds or book an in-person appraisal of your property with us today, head over to wardsofkent.co.uk to find out more about our unique approach.
Well, following on from the last question there, there's kind of the ups and downs of everything. We've talked about some of the horror stories and the things that go wrong when you're pricing a property. But tell us about the upsides then, the success stories where proper pricing strategies, to use that word again, led to amazing outcomes.
So I think in this market, I've had more success stories than ever with pricing. So obviously, I think the media have put a lot of doom and gloom around pricing. And, you know, they've really been pushing the fact the market's slowed down and it's not a great time to move. That's when we really see a lot of success, because we put the strategy in place, and that's when if we get a good outcome and a great price for the property, it becomes so much more special. So we've actually just had one recently. There's a big detached family home which has been in the same family since the 1930s when it was built, so it's a long time. There's a lot of emotions attached to the property. So this family did not want to give it away. They absolutely wanted the best result, which completely is what we're there to do. Now, I gave them an idea of kind of a range in which I felt they would fall into. So we said sort of 500 to 525 is potentially where they would fall into. Now, the kind of advice that I like to give is again, it's based on what their situation is, you know, whether they're worried, whether it's a vacant property, whether they're really excited and keen to get viewings. It really, really depends. But my advice in this specific scenario for this family was actually, let's go in a bit more competitive and let's list it slightly lower. So we listed it at 475. We went via our modern method of auction, which is a whole new strategy as well. Wow. And actually, we've just had the open house in the weekend just gone. They had 17 viewings take place on their first open house.
Wow.
Which is massive. You know, we're, you know, kids are off school, people are on holiday, there's all sorts going on, which means it may not be as busy as what people would expect. But 17 viewings on the first weekend, and the first offer came in at 520, which is massive.
Wow.
You know, and it's still, the auction hasn't even closed yet. So they're going to be getting a huge result from this auction.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing. And they're, what was important to them, you know, it's a property that needs a lot of work doing, but it was important to them that they had a buyer where it was going to a family. It wasn't going to be going to an investor.
Yeah, people really care about that side of things as well, the emotional side.
Exactly. So, you know, that's something that was really, really important to them. And I think a lot of it doesn't always come down to price. It comes down to what's important to that seller and getting them the best buyer, not just the first buyer and not the one that's going to bid the highest. So, yeah.
Yeah, just to talk about the open house thing again as well. If no one's been in that situation, it is amazing, because we bought a house from an open day, an open house day, and we really thought we had no chance, because there were people on phones, there were obviously like buildery type people mm-hmm. who were obviously there as, you know, people that wanted to invest, people pulling up in big swanky cars. You just never know. But in the end, we were the ones that got it. As a seller, it must be very exciting because you literally, you can hear other people going, yeah, well, I'd have to do, you know, on their phone to their mates saying, oh, we'd have to do this and we'd have to do this. And you as a potential buyer, you're like feeling like, whoa, there's... I need to do something. If we want this, we're going to have to do something about it. So it's really, I can see how they must work so well. But you're talking about getting the price right. How do you get that right? How do you determine the price of a property in Kent? There's all the very sort of, there's the national factors, there's the Kentish factor, there's the local factors. How do you work it all out and come up with a number?
It's determined, as you say, by a number of factors. Of course, we take into account the location, the neighbourhood, nationwide house prices as well, and different trends, market data. But I think the price will always differ depending on the motivation of the client, which I think a lot of people forget. You know, if, as I said earlier, if I've got an investor who actually it's really important to them to get the most money out of the property, but they want to sell quickly, I potentially might be advising them something different to someone who is very, very nervous, hasn't moved in a long time and wants to take a more comfortable approach of pricing it slightly higher with the view to being open to offers.
Yeah. So, you can sit on it for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So I will always give people an idea of a range in which I feel they would fall into. In terms of an achievable range, I think it's important that we bring evidence because a lot of people, you know, it's very easy to look on Rightmove and say, oh, well, my neighbour's house is on for this much. That's great, but have they sold? Mm. And I think it's important for us to inform people of actually, yes, someone may be advertising at this, but let's look at what they actually ended up achieving because that can often be very, very different. And it's about how you get to that final figure. So I think there's a number of factors and I think sellers need to be given some confidence that they can test the market. You know, you don't have to come on at the figure you're going to sell for. We can test it higher, we can test it lower. I think a lot of agents are guilty of really trying to put a lot of pressure on to sell quickly. With us and with my team, I'm certainly always trying to slow it down. I think take the pressure off, take the stress away, slow the process down, especially if, you know, you might be someone who's looking for a property. You want to have that time to find and you don't want to be stressed with actually selling to the first person that comes through the door and then having to suddenly rush to find a property and worry about moving along and spending money and being homeless. So I think it's important to take into account all of those factors. We had someone recently who actually tested the market. I gave him a value of 500 to 525. He said to me, look, Gemma, actually, I'm not quite on the same page with you with price. I really feel that I should get 550. So I said, fine, not a problem at all. Let's test it at the 550. We'll put an open house in place. We know that if that price is a little bit too high, that open house will be empty. And if it is, we can adjust. If we've got it right, it should be, you know, back-to-back viewings. We should, worst case, get some feedback. Best case, get some offers. Anyway, he listed at 550. He did get 7 viewings, which was great, but none of them wanted to offer. So I said, look, is it now time to possibly look into the price-related feedback and possibly adjust the price? And he said, OK, I'll take on board the feedback. So the feedback came back and they all said it would be probably worth between 500 and 525. Anyway, we adjusted the price, did a new open house. We came right the way down to 500, which he was naturally nervous about as a seller. And the first person came through and offered 520.
Amazing.
Because of that open house, because of the competitiveness. So it can really, really work. But again, it's just about, it's not a one size fits all. You've got to adjust for the customer.
Mm. And I guess, it, you know, going back 10 years and further, even in that fairly short window between 10 years ago and now, the amount of information that buyers can get and sellers can get without you guys, because it's everything out there on the net for them to research and find out. I guess it makes your job a bit tougher, does it?
It does, because I think the expectations are much, much higher on agents now. I think we've got access to so much technology and so much information, as you say. You know, clients, it's not often that I will go to a client's house and give them a valuation without them already knowing or thinking they know what their house is worth.
Right.
So I've got to take that on board because it is important that I know what their expectations are and that I can manage them. But quite often, they're coming to me with evidence of what their house is worth. So I've got to be 10 times more prepared and make sure I'm on the front foot so that I am still the expert and giving them as much advice as I can to try and help. So yeah, it is tough. And it's as I say, it's a competitive market among agents as well.
And what are the effective marketing techniques that sellers can employ to get those potential buyers through the doors of properties in Kent?
I think one of the number one things is having a for sale board. I think that's something that often people are very, very, very nervous about, having a for sale board up outside their house. And I understand, I think a lot of them, you know, a lot of clients that I help, certainly in my area, they haven't moved for a very, very long time. They haven't told neighbours yet. You know, they might be a little uncertain as to whether moving is a definite or whether they're just testing it. So having a for sale board is something that really makes people nervous. I think that is one of the best ways that you can help sell your property.
Because, it's funny, isn't it? All this modern stuff and yet a board up, sell, get the board up. Yeah.
It's so simple, so simple. But, you know, you get people who have been looking on Rightmove for months and months and months, not seeing anything. They're demotivated because it's the same properties they see all the time. But they might drive down a road where they want to live and see a board. Mm. And automatically, you know, your board goes up before you're on the websites, before anything. So actually, if people are calling the number on the board and inquiring, they're going to get the information before anyone else, before the 24-hour pre-launch, before everything. So I think that's a really, really good way to entice those really serious buyers early on.
Yeah, get that board up. Okay, and in what ways do you recommend sellers prepare their properties for that launch? Because now it is like, bang, we're off, like you were talking about the open houses. How can sellers be ready to go, bang, for, you know, from go?
So I think I would recommend that sellers present their homes in a way which makes them feel the 2 hours lived and loved, because people want to see how you're using your home. They want to see how it's lived in, how it's used if you're a family, you know, how it's set up. They get a better idea of space if you have got your furniture in there and bits. Obviously, it should be tidy, which is great. First impressions count. But, you know, people do want to see how properties are lived in. They want to have a bit of a story to it. It needs to be that emotional connection. People always talk about when they walk into a house, they want to get that feeling. And I think that's what sellers have got to help those buyers to get. So, you know, it's not always just sight either. Obviously, we want things tidy and uncluttered, and hiding things in dishwashers is great. But I think it's important to make it feel nice, make it smell nice. You know, I love it when I go in and I smell a scented candle. I think that's great. But also as well, if it's wintertime, sometimes sellers will put the fire on and make it feel cosy. In the summertime, curtains, blinds, windows, doors, all open, making it feel spacious, bigger, etc. So I think there's all little things like that which can really, really help.
Yeah, and I guess that's something, are people more switched on with that kind of stuff now as well, with property TV shows and, again, all the internet stuff? Are people a bit more up
Definitely.
With that kind of stuff now? Yeah.
Yeah. I think Selling Sunset has a lot to thank for.
And to get that successful launch is all important now. Now, we've got one final question. Knowing, and, you know, now from what you've talked about as well, even better, that the market is so, so competitive. How important is it for sellers themselves? And we kind of touched on this as well, because they do seem, everyone knows more about property, I think, than they used to and has got all that information. But how can they really make sure they stay informed about the market trends and adjust their strategies accordingly? What can they do?
Well, I think it's, again, the responsibility comes from the agent. You know, you're paying an agent a lot of money to do a job for you in the end and hopefully get you successfully moved. And I think it's our job to keep them informed, keep them interested as well. There's a lot of sellers that I speak to which, you know, sometimes if they've been trying to sell for a little while and they haven't had much success, they'll come to me quite demotivated. And that's not nice to hear. We need to get them excited about moving again, but also inform them and not shy away from difficult conversations, because it's not, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses. And sometimes we could be in a really fast paced marketplace. And during the pandemic, we were. Things were selling quickly for a lot of money. But equally, sellers and buyers were then very stressed about finding somewhere for the right price because they were having to pay a lot for it. Now we're in a market where prices have come down, things are reducing, things are taking longer to sell. But actually, that's giving buyers and sellers more time to find a property and actually the opportunity to secure somewhere for less as well, which could be made up from sale and purchase price. So I think it's a very different marketplace now, but I think an important thing for us is to make sure that we've got the communication there. That is the number one thing that I find is a problem in this industry, is that a lot of agents don't communicate by phone still and by face-to-face contact. We've got a lot of technology. It's very, very easy to send an email across with an up-to-date market data sheet, but there's nothing like face-to-face and phone contact. And I think that's so, so important. Get your sellers talking to you. Make sure that they're aware of what's coming up, what's going on. If we're coming up to September, we know lots more properties are coming to market. They're going to need to be aware that things could get more competitive. Equally, if we're heading towards Boxing Day, that's a day where there's a huge uplift on interest on the platforms like Rightmove and Zoopla. So we need to inform them of how they can take advantage of that. And if we've not got the contact with them, then they're not going to know. And that all comes from building a good relationship in the first place with them and gaining their trust, basically.
Now, I do have one more question. You've mentioned Selling Sunset. I think on Selling Sunset, they have a bell they ring.
They do.
Do wards have a bell?
I have a little bell. Yeah.
Just a little one.
On the desk, a desk bell.
Oh, ding!
Next, we'll upgrade please. One day.
Okay, we'll buy you a bigger bell. Depending on how well this podcast goes, we'll buy you a bigger bell. Now, don't forget, it's always, of course, a good idea to consult with a financial advisor, solicitor, and an estate agent to help you navigate the home buying process and answer any additional questions you may have. Thanks again to our special guest today. That's Gemma Duckworth, branch manager at Wards. Thanks for sharing all your insights and your expertise with us today.
Thank you.
You can check out all the previous episodes and the previous season at im-listening.co.uk. Don't forget to check out the Property Podcast with Wards next week. See you then. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you've got a bell, give that a ring as well. Thanks for listening to the Property Podcast with Wards. If you'd like more information on the subjects that we've covered in this week's episode, just head over to the Wards website at wardsofkent.co.uk, or you can follow us on our social media channels. You can check out our latest episodes at im-listening.co.uk or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This has been an IM Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.